Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio. We're still on 7/7/16. 10 more minutes before we come into 7/8 of 2016. I call this one being sent out by the Spirit, and thank you for being flexible with me. And the great thing about these shows is that they can be downloaded or listened to anytime. So thank you for being flexible with me. I got this from Acts 13, and so I'm just going to read a little part of that. It says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then they went. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by this Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus." And so I want to, of course, always say thanks to IHOP Kansas for allowing me to play their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them, Lord, and give them your peace. Give them above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of your story. And of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from every single one of your enemies. And so I want to play the recording of the shofar. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. And my prayer is Ephesians 1:17-21. For I always pray to the God and Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of our mind, the faculty of our sight, of knowing, of our hearts flooded with light to enlighten us, to illumine us, to bring light, to spiritually imbue us, to instruct us, and to give us understanding so that we can know and understand the hope to which he has called us. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in us, his saints, and so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And that's where we're seated, is in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and all things under his feet, because we're his body and we're his feet. And so we are seated with him right now, right here and right now. And so I just want to kind of stop there, because I want to talk about how the Old Testament is just as relevant today as it was then. You know, we can learn so much from each and every book. And what's so incredible is the Lord works the same way now as he did then, except we have such an incredible advantage because of Jesus and his finished work. The Spirit of the Lord is in us. The Lord Jesus is in us. We are one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to just go in John 17:20 and a couple more verses. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Isn't that so incredible when you muse upon that? The glory which you have given me. In other words, this is Jesus, he's saying, Father, the glory which you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Isn't that beautiful? It's so incredible. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you, these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. I wanted to go into 1 Corinthians 10 because I want you to just remind you of what it says there. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses, into the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as an example for us, so that we would not crave evil things, as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. And so I wanted to really just remind you that it is for our example, for us to learn. And so I want you to think about it, because God is incredible, and I know you know that. And I want to talk about impartation. You know, I'm going to talk about Moses, because he couldn't handle the people. They were just way too much for him, as they would have been for anybody. And so Moses just couldn't take it anymore. And he was overwhelmed because they were murmurers and whiners and complainers. And so this is what he says. This is what the Lord says to him in Numbers 11:16. The Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is upon you and will put him upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone. Now listen to what Moses says to the Lord, because these people were seriously high maintenance. In Numbers 11:10, now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I going to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone am not able to carry all this people because it's too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal, thus kill me at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Moses was going to go into the promised land, and the Lord told him to commission Joshua. So we're going to move on here to Numbers 27 and show you that ordinations went on then and they do now. So we're going to go in Numbers 27:12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up to this mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water. These are the waters of Meribah of Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. And have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him." And you see, as in the last, the Lord imparted some of the spirit that was on Moses. He put on the 70 elders. And here again, Moses is commissioning Joshua and lays his hands on him. And so the Holy Spirit was filled with the Spirit. He just said that. Isn't that awesome? It's like, remember when Joshua would sit in the tent of meeting? He didn't want to leave because he liked being in the presence of the Lord. And so, like he said in Numbers 27:20, "You shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him." And then in verse 18, we'll go up a little bit, "A man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him." And so he ordained him. And so in verse 21, it says, "Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Here again, we're going to talk about Elijah and Elisha, and we're going to go into 1 Kings 19. So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing." And so it was his small, it was his still small voice, because he had been in the fire before, but now he was speaking to him in a still small voice. And in 1 Kings 19:12, that's where we just were, and the next verse says, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. That, although that was not true, he was not the only one. He felt like he was, obviously. And the Lord, after that, I just love it, gave him, told him what to do. The Lord had said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu, son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about to the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elijah the son of Shaphat while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. Isn't that interesting? He threw his mantle on him. Think about what Jesus did when he gave the office gifts, the prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Did the same thing. He gave those gifts, and he put his mantle on us. Isn't that awesome? Well, let's go into 1 Kings 19:20. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. What about Elijah and Elisha? Think about 2 Kings 2:8. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elijah said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon us. He said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, that is so solid, isn't he? He did it then, and he does it now. Let's go into 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your usefulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Well, isn't that awesome? He's saying, hey, the things that were spoken to you, be absorbed in them. Take pains with these things so your progress will be evident of what was bestowed on you through prophetic utterances. Prophetic utterance. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Just as the prophets, through the Holy Spirit, set apart men and women in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did it the same way in the New Testament. And that was where I got the title from. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but the prophets there, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, isn't that interesting? They heard the Holy Spirit just plain as day. Why? Because they were ministering to him. They were fasting. They were praying. They were worshiping. And so it says in verse 14, this is where I got the title. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went out to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You, who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. And I will say to you, you're going to begin to see these things happening again, because there is much opposition. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. And so I just want to stop a minute, because the Holy Spirit wants us to rest. He wants to rest upon us. And so this song I'm going to play a little bit of, it's called Resting Place by Misty Edwards. that's what we want, a resting place for the Lord, so that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon us. So powerful. I want to talk about Daniel and his friends. They were taken to Babylon, but yet they were used mightily by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to just go into Daniel. I'm going to kind of go here and there in Daniel 1 and 2. I'm going to start at verse 3. I'm going to go in Daniel 1, verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. That's Daniel 1:17. Then we're going to go to 1:19. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. Now, as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And of course, there's so much more that Daniel saw and dreamed and prophesied. This is the same Holy Spirit who poured out dreams and visions and prophecy out on Pentecost. All three of those gifts operated through Daniel, and as well as many prophets, male and female in the Old Testament, and also in the New, and believers. I mean, it's for believers. The only prerequisite is to be born from above, born again. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and sleep left him. This is Daniel 2, verse 1. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command for me is firm. That if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to a king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Well, they sure were right about that, weren't they? Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. And Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. And Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning his mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while you were on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. As for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." And then Daniel gives the interpretation, and it's about the end days, and it's about the statue, and each part of it represented kingdoms. And so I'm not going to read that to you. If you want to read that, you can go into Daniel 2 and read about it. I will read, though, Daniel 2:44, because at the end of it all, it says, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy." And King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, and a revealer of mysteries. Since you have been able to reveal this mystery, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made requests of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon, while Daniel was at the king's court. And I just want to leave, because I really want to play a little bit of a song. I've been playing it the last couple weeks, but it's so awesome about the Holy Spirit. But in Daniel 4:8, I'm just going to, what's so awesome is that even these kings who were not believers yet in the Lord, they recognize that there was a spirit of the Holy God in them. They didn't know how else to say it. But listen to what a couple of the scriptures they say about Daniel. Oh, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the Holy Gods is in you, and no mystery baffles you, tell me the visions of my dreams, which I have seen along with its interpretation. In verse 4:18, this is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, tell me its interpretation, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for a spirit of the Holy Gods is in you. Isn't that amazing how they recognize that? In Daniel 5:11, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy Gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. And in Daniel 5:12, this was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. And so we have run out of time, and we're going to continue on with the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does. And so he saved kingdoms and peoples through Joseph, through Daniel, through Ezekiel, through so many different of servants. And so we're going to keep talking about that next week. And so thanks for joining me. I just want about a couple minutes play of the song about the Holy Spirit called He's Like. Thank you so much for joining me. God bless you.
With emotions, with all give you.